We are really glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. If you will take your bulletin, there's a few things we want to highlight with you this morning. First of all, our missionaries for the month are in a flyer, Dave and Jean Kelly. They're with World Venture, so you can read all about that. Then on the backside of all of our missionaries, that you can be praying for them as you have your prayer time together. If you see today, there is a children's church. I want you to be aware of that. And then this week, Thursday night, we have Push, Pray Until Something Happens. That's at 6:30. Then if you look at that middle section, you got a lot of announcements concerning Awana, and I want to go through all of that. There's going to be a leader helper training on Wednesday, August 20th. That starts at 6 o'clock. Then there's going to be a uniform and popsicle night. So if you don't wear your uniform, you still get a popsicle. Just want to let you know that, but that's okay. But Wednesday, August 27th, that's at 6 o'clock. And then the kickoff is going to be on Wednesday, September 3rd. So let's continue to be praying for Awana Ministry, those involved in leadership. And if you have any questions, be sure to check in with Isabel or Gary in regards to that. Also, there's some new things back on in the library. You'll want to check that out as well. A little later on, after our worship this morning, we're going to be having Paula Perry share. She's been with us this summer. She's a missionary of Jews for Jesus, so she'll be sharing a brief report as well this morning. If you turn to the front of your bulletin, you'll see the scripture verse that we're going to be sharing today. It's found in John chapter 18, verse 34. Jesus answered him, and that's Pilate, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did some others tell you this concerning me?" Let's bow together. Father, what a great opportunity to come and to worship, to sing songs and fellowship together, to be able to hear what's on Paula's heart today, to sit around your Lord's table, and then to get again into our message in John. Father, this whole service belongs to you. We would ask that you would honor and bless it and encourage each one that we might come away from this place not having just learned something, but have been changed and transformed through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me, and whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is for every believer. I'm not anything special, but I have good news. Jesus never asked us to take up the cross in our own strength and follow him. He asked us to do it in his strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so we can stand against the schemes of the devil. And I just want to say, I want to thank you for all your prayers and all your support. This church has been a great blessing to me over the years, and I just thank God for each one of you. But I'm 72 years old, and I have epilepsy, and I may have a heart problem. But you know what? If God can use me, he can use you, because he's given each one of us spiritual gifts. And so during this time of anti-Semitism, and it's just not anti-Semitism, it's attacks against Christians everywhere. In Canada, our country, but in Africa, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but those two Jewish believers were shot outside a Holocaust museum as well. They were murdered. But I want to give a report. And I want to say all of this is not my strength or in my wisdom or in my power, but it's all in Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. But right now, Jews for Jesus has been involved in reaching Jewish people with the claims that Jesus is the Messiah, he's the Savior of the world, and he's the Son of God. And in that, we're doing internet evangelism, mailings, street evangelism, and in neighborhoods. And when the last time I was in Alaska, and I was also in Vancouver with a sister in the Lord, I've known for 15 years, and her father was a Nazi, and she led him to the Lord. So God can make even your enemies to be at peace with you. And we are sisters in Jesus, and we've been to Auschwitz, Birkenau, passing out tracts, engaging in conversation. But we went around Jewish synagogues, because a lot of Jews like to live around a synagogue called an Eruv, and we did 1,650 homes in Alaska and Vancouver. We didn't even touch Vancouver. And on the day of the attack, of the Boulder attack, where 14 were attacked by this guy, firebomb, I got to witness to three Jewish people in the morning in Vancouver on the streets. So to share the gospel and even give them something in Hebrew before that attack happened. So I'm personally involved in going out in the neighborhoods, we leave Hebrew and English around synagogues because the Orthodox, the Chabad, have what they call an Eruv, which is you have to live within a 3/4 mile of the synagogue so you don't break Shabbat. But even then, many Jewish people like to live together. It's like any other people, Hispanic or any other people, they like to live close to one another. So it makes it easy that we can get Hebrew and English into the neighborhoods. And we also do street evangelism. We did one little outreach here in Windsor, and we went to a fire station, left some Gospels of John, and we talked to some people. I didn't know that we ran into any Jews, but we give the gospel to everybody. We don't throw the fish back. We don't say, are you Jewish? And they say, no, okay, we throw them back. We don't do that. See, the gospel is for everybody. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and to the Greeks, which is the nations. Matter of fact, that's what a Jewish person is supposed to do, is tell everybody about Jesus. So in Alaska, we also had two people pray to receive Jesus. One young man was named R-I-O-J, Rio, from Indonesia. And we had another person, and it was a Canadian who received Jesus in Vancouver. So we praise the Lord for that. And on the day, Virginia and I went to Boulder, and on that day we went between two synagogues. One was Orthodox and one was conservative. So we were right in the middle, so we knew that almost every home we were getting was Jewish. And as we left that city about 2 hours later, we learned that the lady who was a Holocaust survivor, 82 years old, died from her burns. So, you know, the most loving thing you can do for a Jewish person is to tell them about Jesus. So I just want to thank you for your prayers. They've been a great blessing to me. I'll be returning back to Omaha on Wednesday morning, and I got about 5 doctor appointments in August regarding my heart. So you can pray for me there, but I had a test here, and things don't look bad, so I think I'm doing pretty good. And then we'll be doing outreaches in Omaha, and we usually go to UNO, we go to shopping areas, and we were going to the airport, but that door may be closed to us now. So I'm not sure about the airport, but we'll go to the airport too. So anyhow, one of my prayer requests is laborers. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few, so we need laborers. I mean, if God calls you to do something, he never asks you to do it in your strength. If he asks you to teach a Sunday school class or a Bible study or work in Awana or whatever, tell somebody about Jesus, he wants you to do it in his strength, in his boldness. So anyhow, my prayer request is doctor appointments and outreaches in Omaha. And we'll see about, I'm not sure about going overseas next year, so that's kind of up in the air. We'll see what happens. But anyhow, I just want to thank you for everything that you've done for me with the rise of anti-Semitism. You don't find a lot of churches that are interested in reaching Jewish people with the gospel. I'll be honest with you. And this church has been a great blessing to me personally. So I want to thank you for that. And so my prayer request is laborers, my doctor's appointments, and health. And to pray for yourselves, the growth of this church. I think God is doing some great things here. I really do. I just really do. I'm really encouraged. And I just want to say, I want to say this, that Jesus loves everyone and that he died for everyone. There is no excuse. And he's given everybody the ability to make a choice. Just the scriptures that I read, even for believers to take up the cross and follow him, that's a choice. But when I was 16, I heard the gospel on TV that Jesus loved me, he died on the cross for me, shed his blood for me, and he rose from the grave, and he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I went into my grandmother's bedroom. I said, Jesus, you are God. You died for me. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Save me in Jesus' name. And I didn't know any believers. So God can speak to anybody. But anyhow, if you meet a Jewish person, share the gospel. It's the most loving thing you can do. Salvation is from the Jews. Jesus was Jewish. But thank you so much. I love you all. God bless you in the name of Jesus. And if you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus, go to an elder, one of the elders, or Pastor Ed, or I'll talk to you. God bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Adonai Sar Shalom.
Give to you a future and a there for your peace, there for your good. The plans I have for you, the plans I have for you.
How many of you have ever driven a stick shift? Well, you have to get it out of park before you get into first, and you have to get it out of first before you get into second, and you have to get it, you know, as it progresses on. I kind of feel like I've kind of done that today, kind of move along, get ready to go. But you know, as Paul has shared, the power is in Jesus. And I don't have anything to say to you today, but the Holy Spirit does. And maybe what I say will not be remembered, but if the Holy Spirit impresses you with something, you will never forget it. I'll guarantee that. Today, we want to continue our series in Life's Affecting Questions. And we're ready for question number 10. Gary really doubted whether we're going to get through all 12 this summer. We are going to get through all 12. And I'm excited about that. But we're ready for question number 10. And that's found in John, the 18th chapter, if you want to turn there. John chapter 18. We're going to begin reading with verse 33. John 18, 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." The question today is, do you have first-hand knowledge? That comes out of the question that Jesus asked to Pilate. Do you know this for yourself, or has someone else told you about it? Do you have first-hand knowledge? Let's bow together. Father, what an honor to simply open your word, to read it. And beyond that, Father, to preach it. It's amazing. This is truth. This is where we hear your voice. This is how we know how to live. But we can't hear it from somebody else. We got to know it and live it firsthand. And I want to thank you for those who have come to know you firsthand. And I pray for those who have not, that they will. So, Father, we acknowledge you as we step into this word. You're the teacher. Your word is that living truth which we must submit to. Bring us to it. Change us through it. That we might go away rejoicing in what we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Jewish leaders had brought Jesus to Pilate, who was the Roman prefect of Judea. Now they would have gladly bypassed him if they could, but they couldn't, because the Roman law said there had to be an official representative in order to administer the death penalty. Now the Jewish leaders, they'd already made their decision, they've already made their conviction, their judgment was that Jesus needed to be killed. So they're coming to Pilate trying to confirm their own verdict. Now what was their accusation? Treason. Because anyone who would claim to be king of a nation that was subject to another nation, in this case the Jewish nation to Rome, had to have the approval of Rome, or else it would be evidence of treason. Now Pilate knew that. So did the Jewish leaders. They had heard Jesus say he was the king of the Jews, so they thought they had him. They'd already passed judgment. All Pilate had to do was to confirm the verdict of treason. So the trial begins. And what was necessary at the beginning of this trial was to establish that of identity. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Here in verse 33. That would have established treason if he said yes. Now Jesus didn't answer with a simple yes or no answer. He answered with a question of his own. "Are you speaking for yourself, Pilate? Or did someone else tell you who I was?" In other words, do you have firsthand knowledge? See, that's the theme of the message this morning. Do we have firsthand knowledge? Pilate did not. And what Jesus wanted to know was whether Pilate was going to be having enough adequate information to make a judgment call of his own. Positive or negative didn't matter. But it had to be his own call based on his own experience. Pilate failed. He didn't have firsthand information. All he had was hearsay. He was only acting on what he heard somebody else say. And that will never bring you to Jesus. It may be a starting point, but it will never make you a Christian by hearing what somebody else has said. Now, I'll get to that a little later on, but any important decision concerning Jesus has to be made on the basis of firsthand knowledge. Otherwise, it's simply hearsay, and it won't hold water. So today, we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at the need of firsthand knowledge, and second, we're going to look at how do we attain this firsthand knowledge. First, the need for firsthand knowledge. We all need firsthand knowledge of who Jesus is. Now, Jesus never raised any objection to anyone who was wanting to investigate who he was. I don't care if it was a Pilate or the high priest or one of the Jewish leaders or one of the disciples or the crowd. If evidence was needed, the evidence was there. And the firsthand knowledge would always be seen in his life and his words. Now, I want you to understand that. Firsthand knowledge was going to be seen in Jesus in his life and in his words. Now, any important decision concerning Jesus has to be made on the basis of that life and word, the firsthand knowledge of Jesus, and then you had to accept that firsthand knowledge from the source yourself. You're with me so far? How many of you are with me so far? How many of you would rather not be with me? Okay. So the first thing we're going to look at here is, in order to have firsthand information, first you've got to have the primary sources. You have to have eyewitness accounts. You have to have original documents. You have to have interviews of people who were there at the event, participants in the event. Now, Pilate had none of that. He never went to any primary sources to find out who Jesus was. It's interesting. I was a history major. I was going to be a history teacher, and the Lord changed the direction of my life. Now I get to tell his story, and it's real history, and I love it. But we only have one piece of evidence, one little fragment that says that Caesar crossed the Rubicon in his conquests. Only one. Yet we have thousands, literally thousands, hundreds of pieces of scraps, of manuscripts, of scrolls, of evidences of who Jesus was, what the gospel was about, and what the Bible is, and yet we will not hold it, even though the evidence is there. The evidence was there for Pilate, but he chose not to go there. Not only do you have to have the primary sources, you got to have the accuracy of those primary sources. Those primary sources had to be accurate information. In other words, to those sources, was there a consistency of context? Was it accepted by others? Was it consistent with the teaching of the day? Pilate never took time to figure that out. Then finally, there has to be prudent judgment on the basis of the primary sources, the accuracy of those sources. You have to understand its relationship to you, its relationship to the setting. Is this person who they're claiming to be by looking at the evidence? Now look at verse 37, because this is interesting. Jesus said, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So he adds another thing here. He says, "The test of truth is my voice." He didn't even say he necessarily needed all of those primary sources of accuracy and all that. What he's saying is, if you hear my voice, it is the truth. Why? Because he said he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. See, truth and justice is enduring. Why? Because Jesus is enduring. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is justice. And Pilate went ahead and violated all the principles of Roman law by attempting to solve the problem himself without any of the primary sources, any of the accuracy, any of the prudent judgment. And he did not hear or listen to the voice of Jesus. He says, "Well, what is truth?" When the truth was standing in front of him, he says, "If you hear my voice, you'll come to the truth, Pilate." He didn't have firsthand knowledge. And I want to tell you, folks, hearsay will never be a sound basis for making any spiritual decision. "Well, I heard it from some pastor. I heard it from my friend. I heard it from this book. Or I read this. I saw this video." Hearsay. It's good, but it's not the sound basis for making spiritual decisions. You got to have firsthand knowledge yourself. Now, what Pilate didn't realize was that his fate was connected with Jesus. Everyone's fate is connected with Jesus. We rise, we fall on who we say Jesus is. We're either in the truth or not in the truth on the basis of who we say Jesus is. Is he the truth? Then we have to submit. If he's not the truth, then we can reject him. See, the destiny of everyone is connected to their relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, sooner or later, all of us have to come and settle some issues. Either we're going to listen to Jesus or we're going to ignore him. Either we're going to receive Jesus or we're going to reject him. Either we're going to submit to him or we're going to renounce him. The choice is ours: either listen, receive, and submit, or ignore, reject, and renounce. Now, here's our problem. Most of us have listened enough to receive him, but then it stops there. For many, not all. Are we submitting to the truth? Now, what's interesting, because Jesus is a living person, how many of you believe he's still alive today? Where is he? He's not in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. That's who's come in. Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's alive. And if he's alive, that means he can be encountered and we can still learn from him, unlike all the other founders of any other religion who are all dead. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. Joseph Smith is dead. Mary Baker Eddy is dead. Confucius is dead. And you can go right on down the line. You cannot have a personal relationship with any of them because they're dead. Only one is still alive to have a personal relationship. Only one that you can come and understand who you have and what you have in him out of personal experience. Now, John 6:37 says, he that comes to me, what's it say? I'm going to cast him out? He who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. See, Jesus is the pivot. How many of you have ever played basketball? I was lousy at it. I could dribble off my foot better than anybody I ever saw. But in basketball, you have a pivot. And when you get to a pivot, you got to set your foot. You can't move it. You can pass and distribute the ball. You can do all kinds of things, but you can't move your pivot. Jesus is the unmovable pivot of our destiny. In order to respond to that pivot, you got to have firsthand knowledge. No verdict that we ever render will ever make any sense unless it's supported by our personal acceptance of the fact of the person of Jesus Christ. Paula will love this story. There's a street preacher in England, and he's being heckled by a man in the audience who did not like his message and who was scorning the gospel he was proclaiming. So very silently, this evangelist reached into his pocket, and he pulled out an orange, and he peeled that orange, and then he ate it. And then he turned to his adversary and asked him if the orange was sour or sweet. Well, how do I know? I can't tell. I never tasted it. To which the preacher said, well, how do you know what Christ is like since you've never experienced him? See, you got to taste the orange. Our Christian experience has to rest on firsthand knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Otherwise, it's too vague. It's not convincing. See, if somebody asks you about your faith in Jesus, you can't say, well, my pastor says, or so-and-so says, or whoever I'm studying says, or this book says, or this video says. What do you say? Can you give a firsthand testimony? Because you have to face it, and you have to realize it yourself. So how do you attain this, real quick? Very simple. How do you attain this firsthand knowledge? Well, the first step is you gain it by hearsay. Now, this is going to be kind of interesting. You have to gain it by somebody else's personal experience. How many of you came to Christ, and you don't have to show your hands, how many of you came to Christ because somebody told you about their firsthand experience? Every one of us. Somewhere along the way, somebody gave you a firsthand experience of who Jesus was. So now you got to make a decision. Do I want to experience that for myself? Now, if someone were to ask you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, could you recommend it with assurance? And could you give them a firsthand account so that they would want it, so that they would experience it? See, it's never our responsibility for someone to come to Christ. My responsibility is to tell them how. It's God's responsibility, the Holy Spirit's responsibility, to bring them into the kingdom of God. But I have to be a witness. I have to be able to give my firsthand account of what Jesus has meant in my life. Now, once that's been done, and that person says, man, I want to experience that firsthand for myself, then you got to maintain that connection with Christ. Now, let me explain that. Are you experiencing Jesus every day firsthand? Well, I think I met him on Sunday. I think I experienced him on Sunday. I think. Not sure, but I think so. See, only after the passage of time, once we've made that decision ourselves, do we begin to experience in our own life his defending us when we're attacked, his guarding us when we are into temptation. is comforting us when we're in a place of sorrow. See, you have to firsthand experience His guarding you, His protecting you, His comforting to you firsthand. Now, one day we're going to all stand before God, and no one's going to answer for us. What we're going to have to do before God is give a firsthand account of how I've come to Jesus and what difference it's made in my life. See, the opinions of others won't matter. No one will answer for us. What is your personal experience with Jesus? Do you have firsthand knowledge of Jesus? See, Jesus came to bear witness of the truth, and everyone who is of the truth will hear His voice. Where are you going to hear it? Right here. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. This is how He's going to speak to you. This is how you're going to gain firsthand knowledge. This is how you're going to gain firsthand experience. Now, here's the question. Have you heard His voice? Are you hearing His voice today? Now, I've never heard the voice of God. I don't know what He sounds like, but I hear His voice through the Word all the time. Do you have firsthand knowledge of Jesus? Let's bow together. Have you heard this for yourself, or somebody else told you? That was the question to Pilate, Jesus. You were there. You asked Him that question. Then you went on to say, everyone who hears My voice can come to the truth. It has to be firsthand. And once we have received it firsthand, then we have to give a firsthand account so that others can have a firsthand experience. So Lord, I pray that You'd speak to us about this need, not only in our life, but in the life of our family members, our co-workers, our classmates, our neighborhoods, wherever we go. People do not have a firsthand knowledge of Jesus. All they have is hearsay. Good man, good teacher, whatever. So, Lord, You've given to us a great commission to go and tell our firsthand stories so they too can have a firsthand experience. So, Father, in all our ways, we acknowledge You. We'd ask that You'd continue to work this into our life, that we might exchange our robes for Your robes, our life for Your life. In Jesus' name, amen.